And today's message is titled, Caring for Yourself Through the Rhythm of Grace. Just want to make sure we got Audacity going. Good. Caring for yourself through a daily rhythm of grace. Do you know that God wants you to take care of yourself? He wants you to have a rhythm in life where you feel you're on top rather than on the bottom. And we're going to be talking about that today. Now, in your notes, there's some scripture from Jeremiah, from the book of Lamentations, in which he gives us the prescription of how you can care for yourself in life. So read with me the verses. They're printed in your notes. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. In this text, there's an amazing word in the midst of it. It's the word consumed. And Jeremiah says that it's because of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Let me give you a definition in your notes of what consumed is. It means you're finished. It's all spent. It means you're exhausted. You're destroyed. It means to come to an end. And so Jeremiah says, hey, God has a plan through his mercies that you and I do not have to feel consumed, spent, exhausted in life. I shared this story with the life group on Tuesday nights that I'm a part of a few weeks ago, and I want to share it with the church family. I needed to go to Oneonta to get some things, and I knew my car was low on gas. And I looked at it, and you know the little meter in it? It tells you how many miles you got left. And it said distance to empty, 27 miles. I believe that was the number. I'll have Michelle put that one up. 27 miles is what I had left according to the gas tank. Now, what I've come to realize over time, the last 10 to 20, 30 miles, when it says you have that many left, it goes a little faster than what the actual miles are. I don't know what it is. It just consumes it more quickly. But, so I'm heading towards Oneonta. I get over, the mountain, and I start to come down. And it goes to 10, then it goes to 5. And then about, you know, where you turn to go left to the Assembly of God Church, and you can go around, it went to this. And, you know, I've always heard, and my understanding, there's always a little extra gas in there, even when it hits zero. You know, they probably do that on purpose for people like me that are kind of stupid, and they're going to push it. And I have to be honest, I did a little praying. So I'm coming down only on a mountain, and goose egg pops up. I still got a couple miles to go. I'm going to BJ's. And it went to zero. That's a picture of how most of us live our lives. Distance to empty, 10 miles, 5 miles, zero. Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, we live there. Do we not? I mean, we're an exhausted people. We run hard. We play hard. Society is such that we move at a fast pace. And that is a picture, my friends, of you and me, of how we often do life. There's a book out by Dr. Richard Swenson. It's called Margin, Marginless. And here's what he says. He says, many people live life with no margin. That means there's nothing left. There's no reserve. There's no extra. You're like it empty. And let me read two paragraphs for you. Marginless is being 30 minutes late to the doctor's office because you were 20 minutes late getting out of the bank, because you were 10 minutes late dropping off the kids at school, and the car ran out of gas two blocks from the gas station, and you forgot your wallet. Margin, on the other hand, is having breath left at the top of the staircase, money left at the end of the month, and sanity left at the end of adolescence. Marginless is the baby crying and the phone ringing at the same time. Margin is grandma taking the baby for the afternoon. Little relief. Marginless is being asked to carry a load 5 pounds heavier than you can lift. Margin is when a friend will carry half the burden with you or for you. Marginless is not having time to finish the book you're reading on stress. Margin is having the time to read it twice. They say that 75 to 90% of all doctor visits are stress-related. Technology has accelerated the pace of life, has it not? We have phones, and we have all these gadgets and different social media platforms, and it's just accelerated and made faster all that goes on around us. But you know what we do? We often live life on empty. And in the book of Lamentations, we find that God has a prescription for it. He's got a plan for you and me. It's called a daily rhythm, that if you and I practice it, we don't have to live on empty. We still have a little bit left in our tank at the end of the day. Now, I want to define the word mercies, the Lord's mercies. It's in your notes. His mercies are this, his loving kindness toward us. God is a compassionate God. And when he looks at us, he has loving kindness and goodness for us. I want you to think of it as a gate. His mercies are a gate to which he has something to help us so we don't live life on empty. That's his mercies. And it says they're new every morning. I'm sure there's people here that love a fresh cup of coffee, a fresh donut, something that's made first thing in the morning. The mercies of God are new every morning. They're fresh. Now, here's the question. Do you go after them? Do we take time to soak in the mercies? Or, listen, are we moving too fast? We're going too quick. We got to get to work. We got to go here. We got a family event. We got school. We're moving so fast that we just zoom past the gate, his mercies, to enter into something that can help us refill our tank. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to share with you two thoughts from this text. I'll call it God's prescription or remedy for exhaustion. So if you're here this morning and you're on empty or close to it, I hope this benefits you. You get something out of it so that you can begin to practice a rhythm that will keep your tank filled. So that's our goal of the message. All right. The remedy for exhaustion, two simple thoughts. Here's the first one. He says we need to hope in God. We need to hope in him. Read with me verse 24 in your notes. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Circle the word hope. Here's what it means. It means to have a sense of expectation to or a desire for something to happen. Now, here's what happens in life. We have all these circumstances that pile up against us, and they run counter against what God's word says he wants to do in our life. Jeremiah says, I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, plans to give you a hope in a future, not to harm you. And yet your life is upside down. When you anchor to hope, you are agreeing with what God's word says more than what your circumstances tell you. Now, the word hope We find in the book of Hebrews, it says that hope is an anchor for the soul. If you're here today and you're looking for an anchor in life because it's going so fast, let me tell you, here's where it's at. You get into His Word and you anchor to a promise, a blessing of what God wants to do in your life, rather than anchoring to the circumstance or the emotions that you're feeling. So it's a choice. So we find here that Jeremiah says, hey, you need to hope. You need to have an expectation that things will get better. Read with me Psalm 42:11 in your notes. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Here's what the psalmist is saying. I'm kind of bummed out. I'm troubled. I'm in my spirit. I'm cast down. Why am I like that? I need to put my hope in God. There's a great insight in this verse, and here it is. Your countenance. You see, what is going on in your life, in your spirit, will show up on your face. If you are good on the inside and your tank is filled, even though there's trouble and problems, if your tank has a good reserve, it's going to show up on your face. On the other hand, if somebody is really deeply struggling and you're spent, you're exhausted, that's going to show up on your countenance as well. The two are connected. And so the psalmist says, hey, I'm going to put my hope, I'm going to anchor to His Word rather than the circumstances that give me a different message. That's the first step in refueling your tank. But here's the key. You have to go through the gate. What's the gate? The mercies of God. They're new every day. You get up in the morning, you say, God, I'm going to believe that Your mercies are there for me today, Your loving kindness. I'm going to walk through that gate. And I'm going to believe You for something. I'm going to put my hope in You that today will be a better day than yesterday because of who God says He is and what He wants to do for us. Got a few slides. Once you choose hope, anything is possible. We lost a little bit. Once you choose it, it's something you got to go after. Here's another one. Hope means to hold on, pain ends. I mean, if you have pain in your life, you just got to keep the hope rope alive. Here's another one. A morning filled with hope in God is the first morning to is the first thing you want to see in the morning. I mean, when you have hope in your life, let me tell you, it can make the difference in the entire day. But the secret, you got to go through the gate, His loving kindness. You got to enter into it. All right, and here's the last one. The words are a little small. Let me read it to you. Hope. Sometimes that is all you have. And when you have nothing else, if you have it, you have everything. If you're here today and your life circumstance is against you and you can't figure it out and can't get past it, let me tell you, if you have hope, you got enough. Because God can come through and bring the victory for you. So His remedy for exhaustion, number one, you got to hope in God's Word. You got to anchor to what God says He'll do in you and through you. Okay, number two. The second thing is this. We have to wait for Him. We have to wait for Him. Let's read together again verse 24. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. To the soul that seeketh Him. Circle the word wait. Let me explain that. When you wait upon God, when you wait in His presence, it means this. You tarry there. You linger in His presence. You look eagerly to Him. So here's what Jeremiah is saying. If you need to, get yourself refueled, first you got to hope, put your hope in God's promise. But secondly, you got to wait. You got to spend time in His presence and tarry there for Him to do something inside you. So in the verse in Isaiah 40:31, let's read this in together. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. I want you to notice there's four positions in this verse. One is waiting. You are still. You are quiet. You are tarrying in God's presence. You're in park. And it says when you're in that position, you can renew your strength. Second position is when an eagle will mount up. Do you know when an eagle spends the most amount of energy? It's when it takes off. When the space shuttle blasted off in years past, the most thrust that was needed when it blasts off. That's when the most energy is needed. Now, here's the insight. To mount up means this. You have a new challenge in life. Maybe it's a new job or something at work. It's new. Or maybe it's something in the community or the church. You got to put extra energy into it. Here's the insight. You have to manage that. If you mount up in a two-week period too often, you're going to be exhausted. It's an output of energy, and we have to have a rhythm of mounting up, because we can't mount up every day. It's just too exhausting. Position number three, they that run. You know, we spend a lot of our life just running. We're on the move, aren't we? I mean, we're addicted to speed in some ways. We love to do stuff. Running takes energy. You do hit a stride, so it's one of the positions. And lastly, you walk. You go at a slower pace, and you just move through life, expending energy, but it's slower. Now, here's the key insight. There's only one position of the four where you renew yourself. It's when you wait. It's when you're still. It's when you're not flying. It's not when you're not moving forward. It's only when you're still and you wait upon the Lord, you renew your strength. Here's what happens. God will refuel you mentally, emotionally, and physically. He'll refuel your tank so that you feel better about life. The psalmist put it this way. Be still and know that I am God. Let me just say this. Our culture does not encourage waiting upon God. It doesn't. It wants you to get up in the morning because you got to go to work, or you got to go to school, or you got something to do. You got an errand to run. Even serving people, you got to go. And you know what gets deleted is wait time. I want you to ask yourself the question, if waiting is what renews us before God, how much wait time do you have in His presence? And when you answer that question, it will give you an indicator whether you run on empty or close to it most all the week. God renews people when they go through the gate of His mercies and loving kindness. They're new every morning. You go in and you say, God, I'm going to trust Your word. I'm going to put my hope in You. And then I'm going to wait for a period of time. And I want You to renew me. You're by yourself. You're not with anybody else. You're alone with God, and He will refuel mentally, emotionally, and physically your body. It's just a science, and it's a rhythm of life. All right, here's a few quotes. I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from Him. If you're here today and your tank is on empty, or distance to empty is really 10 or 15 miles, let me tell you, if you will spend time in God's presence, you read His word, you just take 5, 10, 15 minutes, and you're quiet, I guarantee it. Here's what He'll do. He'll start to restore you. He'll start to replenish what is missing in your life. Here's another quote. Lord, renew my energy when I feel tired and weak. The renewal rhythm is when I take that time sometime during the day and you learn to go through the gate of His mercy and say, wait a minute, God, I need You to refresh and renew me. I'm tired and empty. All right, here's the third one. It's the verse, be still and know that I'm God. The amount of stillness you practice in God's presence will be directly related to the amount of fuel you have in your tank, your supply, your reserves. He's the one that can replenish it when we spend time in his presence. Here's the last one for this point. You may be here today, and what you need is time to recover. You need some time in your own walk with God in his presence, personal alone time, to recover and to feel restored in your spirit. That's the only way it's going to happen. It takes time, but God will come through if we make ourselves available to him. So number one, go through the gate, mercies, loving kindness. They're new every morning. I want them. I put my hope in what God's word says. I don't believe my circumstances. Number two, I linger and wait in his presence. Maybe 5 minutes, 10, 15, 30 minutes. I tell you, some of the best times of my own spiritual journey is when I get in God's presence and I can block everything else out and I just wait. I'm still. It refuels me. It somehow, he does something inside us. All right. Conclusion. Read with me Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. New Testament, book of Hebrews, here's what it says. You got to get mercy first. Mercy is his loving kindness. It's a gate you pass through. It's just who he is. He's opened that gate. And then it says this. You got to find grace. Grace will refill you because grace is given to us by God to nourish us and to somehow encourage us, and he'll refill us with grace. You find mercy first. You say, Lord, I'm going to believe you for that gate. But once I get through the gate, I need grace to refuel me and to fill me up on the inside. All right, the last couple of verses here. Let's read these together. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fielding on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I want you to notice this. He says, you can recover your life. You may be here this morning, and the message for you is you got to recover yourself. You know why? You're on empty. You're spent. There's nothing there that you're at, or you're close to it. There's no margin. And Jesus is saying he will help you recover your life. He says, I'll show you how to take a real rest. And then he says this, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. The message today is this. You can care for yourself if you learn a certain rhythm. It's the rhythm of grace. What is that rhythm? Sometime during the day, you get alone with God. It's called your personal time. And you go through the gate. It's his loving kindness. You believe him for it. You then spend time in his presence waiting. And it says there, you will recover yourself. He will refuel you. He will replenish what is gone. He will give us this grace. And as we learn this rhythm, it can help us in the marathon of life so we don't crash as often. I'll be real honest. I'm an expert at crashing. I mean, I really am. I know what that feels like and tastes like. I've done it many times. And sometimes I'm a slow learner. But I have learned this. The best times is if I'm willing to wait and allow grace to infill me in a new way. All right. Then at the end, he says this, learn to live freely and lightly. Do you know that God wants you to live a life that you feel good about? To live freely and lightly. In other words, he's helping you carry some of the load so that it's not all on you. He wants you to live like that. So you have a smile on your face, the countenance connection with your heart. He wants your heart to be filled enough so that your countenance reflects that. You're good. Not every day's perfect. Not talking about that. But you have a reserve capacity that you can withstand some of the curveballs of life because you've spent time in his presence and you've learned the rhythm, the daily rhythm of letting him fill you. Now I have three slides left, then I'm done. Here's the first one. There's a quote there, Michelle. Mercies are new. Great. Reminder, it's like fresh bread and fresh coffee. They're new every morning. Every morning. If you want them, they're there for the taking. It's the gate. His mercies, his loving kindness, his goodness. You just got to go through the gate every day. And once you get in there, grace can then fill you if you're willing to wait and spend time in his presence and just soak it in. All right, here's the last two slides. I'm going to show you this one and then the next one, and I just want you to study this one, and then I'm going to ask you a question. Take a look at it. It's a guy filling his car with gas, all right? Kind of obvious, all right. Here's the next one. Here's a young lady filling her car with gas. Now, one simple observation. Here's the question. What do you see the similarities in the two pictures? Cell phone. It's a good answer, Dusty, but it wasn't the one I was looking for. But you're right. The guy had a cell phone, you're right. Here it is. Here it is. Listen. Both cars are parked. Those cars represent your life. And the only way you're going to get filled up is if you put it in park. You can't, it doesn't count when you drive past a gas station if you need gas. It's getting close. But a car is only filled when it's in park. The engine should be shut off. It's in rest position. The same is true of your life. You will never get filled up if you're always on the move. But if you are willing to park yourself long enough and let God pour his grace into your tank, you will get refueled. You'll get replenished. You'll be re-energized. You'll recover your life. On the other hand, if you and I aren't willing to park and let God do that for us, we will continue to live a life that's on zero distance to empty. We'll just be exhausted people. The invitation from Jesus himself is, hey, listen, I'll help you get rest. You just come to me. It's the rhythm of grace daily. And if you are willing to park your life in God's presence, you go through the gate, it's called his mercies, loving kindness, and you put your hope in him, and then you wait. You're still in his presence, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, whatever it is. Here's what to do. He'll fill you up. He'll fill you up. But again, both cars are in park. And that's the only way you and I get filled up is when we park ourselves in God's presence. Care for yourself through a daily rhythm of grace. It's yours for the taking. It's mine for the taking if we want to take advantage of it. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You're here today. Just ask God. Say, God, show me where I'm at. How many miles do I have left till I'm empty? He'll show you. Maybe your tank is half full or totally full. That's awesome. Or maybe you got like 10 or 5 miles left. You even wondered if you wanted to come to church this morning because you're so tired. Seriously. And the first question to always ask is, where am I at in my relationship with Christ? And if you're here today and you just need to commit or recommit your life to Him, I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer, and you can pray this silently after me right now. Father, thank you that you love me. I'm valuable to you. I open my heart. I confess my sins and all that I've done to try to live life on my own power, and I ask you to forgive me. I commit or recommit my life to Christ. May He come and live inside me in a new way. From this moment forward, fill me with your power and presence, I pray. Now I want to ask a second question. Do you have a daily rhythm of grace in your life? I want you to make a decision in the next 2 minutes that you'll say, God, help me to practice the rhythm of grace that will replenish and renew the margin in my life, whether it's between 6 and 6:15 in the morning or the afternoon, whenever it is. Make a commitment right now. I'm going to do this, God. Help me to make that a part of my weekly routine, my daily routine. Father, we thank you that your presence is here this morning, and we look to you in faith. And I pray for every person here and everyone listening online that we will all have just given our hearts to Christ in a personal way. We've surrendered them. And as we live out of that experience, Lord, that you'll help us to learn this rhythm of grace that will refill our tanks on a daily basis, that you'll replenish us, that you'll build margin into our lives, that we will feel better about ourselves. The countenance, our smiles will reflect your grace in our life in ample supply. Father, we just need you to help us care for ourselves. And so we just pray a simple prayer. Help each of us to commit to a rhythm of grace every day so that we can be refueled, replenished, and we can recover our lives for that day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.